Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
And I am Jason Jones.
Okay, in today's episode, we're going to talk about movies.
What a shock.
Right, so if you're here to hear about video game news, there really isn't any, so we can't talk about that.
Yeah, I haven't even played anything in like 2 weeks now.
So. Yeah, myself either. I pretty much did everything in Fallout 4, so...
That's possible by now?
I looked it up. I looked up the mission list. I did. I did do everything I could with the faction alignment that I selected.
Nice.
I'm sure I played it for like, at least 150 hours.
So is your opinion still what it was before?
Yep. It definitely has a lack of depth, a lack of choice, and a lack of consequence.
But it's still good.
It's still good. I mean, yes. 150 hours? Compared to, Star Wars Battlefront, which, yes, for the same price, you might get bored after 10 hours, and that's if you're lucky.
Yeah, I basically played it that one night that we all played it, and that was maybe like 5 hours or something.
Mike Parker and I have been playing BC2 lately.
Oh, yeah.
Jump back in. It's still fun.
Nice.
There's actually, there was one server, EBW, that's actually really active.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, so our topics today that are movie-related are Marvel fatigue. There's been, 20 Marvel movies now?
They I don't all know kind if it's of... that many, but it's getting there.
It's quite a few. They all kind of feel the same. Are there too many of them? How long will it last? And then kind of on that note, second topic is shared universe overload. Because of the success of Marvel, everybody is creating shared universes with their stupid franchises. Why? We will discuss the shared universes that are coming, whether we want them or not, and if they're, if they have potential. Then our third topic is what actually sucks about going to the movies. If you read online, people talking about movies, they always bring up noisy patrons and sticky floors, and I don't know, maybe it's just where we live, but I never encounter that.
Yeah,
it's... We're going to talk about like what are the real reasons, which we can probably all guess. But we're going to talk about it anyway. So, clearly we haven't been playing any video games. I've been pretty busy getting ready for my trip and getting ready to ship Rob Zombie. So,
you're going to ship Rob Zombie himself somewhere?
Yeah, we're going to put him into a crate like a living dead man and ship him. And then people will think he's dead, but he's not.
But then he'll pop out of the box and say, yeah, surprise. He'll be like,
the devil's wing. Yeah, so that's been quite the journey.
Yes.
So Rob Zombie Pinball, coming soon. Okay, so let's start with Marvel fatigue. So Marvel makes like, two movies a year, right? There's like a midsummer and May movie.
Seems like it, because, yeah, last year it was what they had, Ant-Man and Ultron, right?
Yes, the movie everyone instantly forgot about, Ultron. I think that's where the wheels started to come off the bus for me.
Yeah, it just was not very good.
Well, you know what? I don't think the first Avengers movie was all that good.
That was one...
It's kind of boring. Like, half the movie is just them on that flying ship
on that
thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know... I think most Marvel movies are like that for me. I've probably said it before, too, but it's like the first time I see them, I usually really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Then I try to watch them again, and I have a really tough time getting through them. It's like they just don't hold up. I basically refer to them as like single-serving movies.
The one that everyone hates, Iron Man 3, I've probably watched that 4 times.
Okay. So that was... Which, that's a lot for you.
But I don't need to see Ultron again. I don't need to see Ant-Man again, because Ant-Man is just Iron Man.
But it does have Evangeline Lilly in it, which helps with the replay value. So there are other considerations.
It has fake elf character in it.
Yes. The best part of the Hobbit movies.
I don't know. I would say that, if we're talking about movies with Evangeline Lilly, I probably enjoyed Real Steel more.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, Robot Box.
It's got Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
And Evangeline Lilly.
Oh, I was watching that prestige scene on YouTube the other day.
Oh, with Bowie?
Yeah, he's not in it that long, so no. I think Labyrinth was a much better choice.
But Prestige is a much better movie.
A lot of movies are much better than Labyrinth.
Yes, because we did have our... People are like, what the hell are they talking about? But we did our kind of memorial double feature where we
David
watched
Bowie
Labyrinth.
And Alan Rickman.
Yeah, we watched Labyrinth and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
That made spicy wings.
Yes. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched, like, Labyrinth in ages. And even, like, Robin Hood, it had been a while. So
I haven't seen Robin Hood since it came out in video. I saw it in the theater, but then I saw it on video that same year, you know, because, like, ooh, Robin Hood's on video now. 1991. So I hadn't seen that movie in, like, 24 years. And I forgot how much Alan Rickman overacted in it.
Yeah, I did too.
It was approaching Jeremy Irons and Dungeons and Dragons levels. Not as good.
Yeah. I mean, who is? But it's pretty awesome, though.
It'll hurt more, you twit.
Keep the stitches small.
Well, we sure got off target there. Thanks, Ant-Man.
Yes, but so what does Marvel have going? Well, I guess like going back, it's like, you know, Marvel, they started out kind of small. Like really Iron Man was the beginning of all of this today. And you basically had, what, a movie a year for a while, maybe?
At most. I mean, that was Iron Man was 2008, and the next one was Iron Man 2, and so, Captain America.
Then you had Thor in there somewhere, and because I think like when Avengers came out, it was like after that is when they kind of started just like pumping stuff out, if memory serves. And
but the thing is, they kind of at least earned to get into Avengers, unlike all these backwards shared universes that we'll talk about in the next section. I don't know. Like the things that really are boring me to death about Marvel movies, there's two things. The technology is too high. Like when you get into the Age of Ultron, there's all these like flying ships flying around like it's fucking Star Wars with like blue force fields. It's like just kiddie bullshit. It's like G.I. Joe cartoons.
Yeah.
And then Hydra. Hydra sounds like, again, it sounds like a stupid G.I. Joe cartoon thing.
Yeah, it does actually.
It's in Captain America. I want to see him fighting Nazis, not fake Nazis, real Nazis. But then when it gets into Hydra, it's like you're watching a cartoon from the 80s where they had to sanitize out the Nazis and put in, you know, Nazi surrogates.
Yeah, so it's like Red Skull is Cobra Commander.
And I just don't care. It's like, I don't care what Hydra is. Like an Ant-Man where he's like, I'm going to sell this to Hydra. It's like, it sounds like he's going to sell it to like some sort of like skin exfoliation company.
Yeah, and to me, it's like after the second Captain America movie, it's like, couldn't they have like moved on to something else? Because that's when, you know, spoiler warning, Hydra gets, you know, exposed as being like in the upper echelons of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they like break all that down and all this stuff. It's like, couldn't they have like moved on to something else after that?
It just doesn't, it's the same thing with all the new Call of Duty movies where they take place 50 years in the future and there's all these robots. It doesn't feel real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Iron Man felt real. He was in Afghanistan with U.S. troops.
Yeah.
And then they got hit by insurgents, or whatever you would call them. It felt real. And now it's just like, you know, oh, I'm Hydra. I'm Hydra Wasp Man or something. It's just fake comic book 80s bullshit. And I know that's what it's based off of. But that's not what I want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, like I liked some of the stuff they did in the earlier movies. Like, even the first Thor, like, I think a lot of people kind of crap on the Thor movies. But the thing that was neat about the first Thor is it was like a god learning to become human.
Yeah, it was a fish out of water movie.
Yeah, it was like, that was like the core of that story. And that was, like, interesting. And, like, my biggest beef with the Marvel movies is, like, yeah, anymore they're pretty much all the same. But then, like, nobody can die in them, like none of the significant characters. So, and that was like when Civil War happened and like Nick Fury gets, you think he gets killed. I was like,
you mean Captain America the Winter Soldier?
Whatever it was, second one. You know, I was like, holy shit, this is pretty cool, like stuff starting to get real. And then when he, like, that movie was great, and then like he turned up alive and I was just like, fuck this. And you know, it was like the whole third act, then it's like, oh, we got big ships again and all, you know, all this crap, and it's like, who cares?
Yeah, they all end the same way, a bunch of big ships flying around and something in the sky.
Yeah, and it's just not interesting. And then most of these movies, it seems like it's basically like Tony Stark like fucks up, like he's basically the root cause of most of the problems.
Right.
Because it's like Ultron was his creation.
Yeah, wouldn't he be like financially liable for what Ultron did?
You would think. See, that would have been fun. He could have been, like, you know, broke and, like, destitute in the next movie.
Well, maybe he is.
Yeah, I guess we haven't seen it yet, but...
They sued me for everything that I had after we destroyed Johannesburg.
Yeah, so it's just... But that's the thing, like, there doesn't really seem to be any big things. I mean, like, it, what was it in Ultron? They had, like, the new Quicksilver die, but it's like, you didn't give a shit about that character.
It was like Walking Dead, where they introduce a new character just so they can kill somebody in two episodes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
And it doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm sure they'll kill Tony Stark, or I'm sure, I mean, they'll kill Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
See, he'll probably die in Infinity War because he's too expensive.
That's what I think, because that's the thing, they're trying to introduce these new characters now, and so it's like, you kind of think... Maybe they'll start trying to kill some characters.
Like
off.
Wingman? They should just call him Wingman.
Oh, God.
Falcon?
Yeah, I don't like that guy. They can take care of him at some point.
But... It's like, oh, I jogged next to Iron Man or Captain America. Now I'm an Avenger.
Yeah, now I'm a hero. Yeah, to me, like, the most meaningful death in any of those movies so far was when Rene Russo died in the second Thor movie.
I did not see the second Thor movie.
Oops, spoiler warning.
That's okay.
But,
Oh, Rene Russo, she's over 40. Did she play a witch?
Well, she's their mom.
Oh, okay.
But,
so they didn't do the Hollywood thing, if you're over 40 and a woman, you must play a witch?
No.
Okay.
They did the other thing, which is you have to play a mom. So...
Well, that makes sense.
But she gets to, like, kick some ass in a scene, which was fun, and... But that movie's, like, good, too. Like, I'd recommend seeing that one. That's one of my favorite Marvel movies, because it's kind of... It's almost like a buddy movie, kind of, between Loki and Thor. Like, they... Things happen that kind of force them to team up, and then... I don't know. It's got, like, good character stuff with, like, you know, the stuff happening with Rene Russo's character and all that, so...
It just needs more finality, you know? Like, there needs... Somebody needs to die...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There just has to be, like, consequences for things. And it's like, well, okay, maybe Civil War will get into some of that, but I'm sure at best it'll scrape the surface.
I'm sure what'll happen with Civil War. I mean, I didn't read the comic books. The Avengers will be fighting or whatever, but then a bigger threat will show up.
Oh, of course.
And they'll have to face that. So Marvel has gotten into television. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And then Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Yes.
And I haven't watched Jessica Jones because I haven't heard enough glowing things about it. It's not like Breaking Bad where everyone's like, watch it. but I really enjoyed Daredevil.
Yeah, I like Daredevil a lot too. And like Jessica Jones, I really enjoyed that. I have heard kind of mixed things from some people on that one, but I really enjoyed it.
I'm sure I'll watch it eventually. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Like, the thing I like about kind of both those shows, but especially Jessica Jones, is that they're kind of smaller. You know, like, they're both set in Hell's Kitchen. It's like Kingpin's not out for, like, global domination or any shit like that. Like, he's just kind of, like, trying to take over this area of New York City or whatever, you know. And, like, in Jessica Jones, like, the bad guy in that... He has the ability to, like, control people with, like, telepathy and stuff or whatever. But, like, he has no grand vision at all. All he wants is to control her. Like, that's his whole focus. Like, he's, like, infatuated with her, and, like, that's his whole objective. He doesn't
want to... So he's, like, a creepy stalker?
Kinda, yeah. But they do, like, some really crazy stuff with, like, him being able to control people.
So, what... Does Jessica Jones have a superpower?
She's, like, really strong and stuff. They don't really dwell on her superpowers a lot, though.
Okay.
Like, it's more, like, kind of a detective, like, noirish type show more than anything. And then they introduce Luke Cage, which he's going to get his own Netflix show as well.
Are they talking about Punisher as well?
Punisher is going to show up in season 2 of Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
And then they're going to make a Iron Fist show as well.
You know what they should? They should make Blade.
That would be cool.
Make a new Blade show.
Yeah.
So Marvel, stop making movies. Just make more Netflix shows.
Yeah, because that's where their best stuff is happening now.
I mean, I found it distracting in Daredevil when they mentioned, like, once or twice, the Avengers or Tony Stark. It's like, no, leave that shit out of here. Because, yeah, you have this dark, gritty movie or show where people get the asses handed to them. There's like blood everywhere, and like there feels like there's stakes. you think the character can lose,
yes,
because they do lose.
Yeah,
that's why why Indiana Jones was so popular. He gets his ass handed to him.
Yep,
he feels like a real person.
Yep,
even if they have a magical superpower of seeing in the dark or whatever it is he can do.
Yep.
It still feels real. And there was a sense of finality to it. It's like at the end of the season, they put Kingpin in jail, and they like drank champagne, like, we did it.
Yep.
That's it. And there wasn't like the end, or here's a new villain, or here's a shot of Thanos. It's like, no, let's let these characters enjoy their success.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like the highest rated thing on Netflix.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of doing TV, too, is that you can let things breathe a bit more like that. You know, like they can kind of, I don't know, go off in some interesting directions, or like you said, you know, let the characters get their ass kicked more. Like, you get more time to like spend with them, and it allows more time for the characters to develop.
Yeah, you can have an entire episode where Daredevil is like beat to shit and like laying in a couch and talking to someone.
Yep.
You can't do that in a movie. Unless it's Avengers 2, and then you have a scene like that, but it's in a barn. I don't know why people like that scene so much, or Josh Whedon's like, no, don't cut my precious barn scene. I don't give a flying fuck about Hawkeye.
About Hawkeye. I was just going to say the same thing. Like, right there, that's an easy character for them to whack, if they're going to whack one.
But they won't, because he's cheap.
Yes.
Why do I care about Hawkeye's wife and kid?
Yeah, it's like nobody gives a shit about any of that.
It's because it's not developed.
And he's another guy where it's like he's not like a superhero at all. It's like he's just like,
why is he on the team?
Yeah, he's just some guy that, you know, can like shoot arrows.
Why is Scarlett Johansson on the team?
Because she's hot.
That's sexist. we took a poll of the lamest Avenger, and sorry, Hawkeye, you're just not hot enough. Black Widow stays.
Yep. It was down to you two, and well, it really wasn't a difficult decision. Yeah, like an Ultron.
Budget cutbacks. One of you has to go. Yeah, it's Hawkeye.
Yeah, because it was like an Ultron. If they were going to spend more time on something, they should have spent more time with the little thing they were trying to do with, like, Black Widow and
Hulk?
Bruce Banner. Yeah. You know, like, they should have developed that more because they had some chemistry and.
Yeah, it was kind of like in Hobbit 2. The only part I cared about was when the Hobbit or the dwarf and Evangeline Lilly were, like, I don't know, like, liked each other.
Yeah.
Because it, like, felt real, you know? It's like, it was...
Yeah, it kind of evolved.
Well, I want to say humanistic, dwarfinistic.
Well, it, like, evolved kind of naturally, and, like, those were the best character moments of those movies, you know? Like, they weren't just, I don't know, fitting stereotypes or whatever. And
even though she was a completely fictional character.
Yes.
A doubly fictional character. A fictional character in a fictional book.
Yes.
What, The Hobbit didn't happen? No! She was alive.
Where's Tom Bombadil? But the key is to make the movies interesting. Like, yeah, they don't have to go, like, Dark Knight dark, but they need to be have a little more consequence to them and have some characters die. Or
well, like, Ultron put up no threat whatsoever to them.
Yeah.
Like, they have that dream sequence where, like, Tony Stark sees the Avengers, like, all dead. And they use that in the advertising to make you actually think that there's going to be stakes. But no, he's actually kind of a wuss.
Yeah, it was just crap.
You know, the thing I didn't like about Ultron, I mean, I love robots, but he didn't look like a robot. He kind of, like, he was too squishy-squashy, you know? At least, like, the robot minions, they looked like robots. They moved like robots. They had joints and, like, plates. And Ultron just kind of looked like a bunch of, like, I don't know, Twizzlers put together. You know, it didn't feel like a robot.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like you're like, oh, the only way they could have done this is CGI. Therefore, he's CGI.
Yeah.
Also, Ultron's plan would not have worked.
Oh, like the dropping the city thing?
Yeah, that would not be the same as an asteroid hitting the Earth. It would never have enough velocity. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would achieve, like, what is terminal velocity? Like 160 miles per hour?
Because, like, how high was he even raising it?
It couldn't have been too high because everyone was able to breathe.
Yeah.
Didn't
so it was, like,
freeze
maybe a
to
mile
death.
Or something. You know,
that was
kind of
my issue with Bioshock Infinite. It's like, how high can you put the city and still have breathable air and not freeze to death? And maybe 10,000 feet, I think that's what they said.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, you know, Denver's a mile high, so that's halfway to 10,000. So.
Right, but if you get into, like, what is it? What's that? Mount Everest, which is, like, what, 32,000 feet? You can't even breathe at the top?
Yeah, it's pretty rough, so.
And it's, like, pretty cold, too.
So you want to be somewhere south of Mount Everest.
In case Ultron tries to drop a city on you. Well, what would be the... What would be the velocity of an asteroid hitting Earth? Like, what, 16,000 miles per hour?
Something like that.
Because it's been out in space where there's no friction.
Yep.
And it's the gravity of the entire solar system is moving it around versus the gravity of a planet. And yeah, his plan sucked.
Yeah. Not very well thought out, Ultron.
Yeah, like, I thought he was supposed to be super smart.
It's like, you could have done better.
It's like, I'm going to drop this and damage... up to 5 kilometers around the impact site. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
That'll show them.
And then did they send Tony Stark the bill for that city? I mean, his robot did it.
They should have.
Like, if your dog bites someone, like, you know, you can be liable for that.
Yeah.
He's like a dog made of metal. You know, someone could have made that analogy.
Yeah, and he screwed with everything, didn't he? Like, kind of, like, take over the internet and shit?
Yeah, and then he tried to kill Paul Bettany.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice.
And then Tony Stark's suit changed voice because it would be too confusing if Paul Bettany was the Vision and his suit's voice.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It's like, okay.
And then, you know, Paul Bettany is like this silver red robot with a jewel in his head, which I think is an Infinity Stone.
Yeah, he turns into Vision, but yeah, they don't really explain that very well in the movie.
How can I care about a character like that?
You can't. Maybe Jennifer Connelly.
There it is. Jennifer Connelly came up in a podcast. When Jennifer Connelly's around, lots of things come up. Your labyrinth is a piece of cake. Okay.
So we'll have to see about the next Guardians of the Galaxy. I hope they keep Guardians of the Galaxy off as their own thing, but I'm sure at some point they're going to try to, like, pull them into...
Well, yeah, I mean, they were more directly, you know, related to Thanos than anyone else so far.
Yeah.
Because isn't...
And they had the Collector in it, which didn't... He was just in the post-credit shit in one of the other movies, right?
Aren't the... wait... The two women, the blue chick and the green chick, they were the daughters of Thanos, right?
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah, they're much more related to
Thanos.
So
it'll all end up...
So you know what'll happen in Infinity War Part 2? What's her name? Gamora or... Zol Salanda will stick a knife into Thanos and be like, take this, daddy. Or, I don't know, something like that.
Yes. And Star-Lord will show up. Because
you know, when I was watching Titan A.E., I noticed a lot of movies have ripped off things from that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in like since it came out, so.
So after we watched Labyrinth, for some reason that made me think about Don Bluth. Then I'm like, oh, I've never seen Titan A.E., so I watched it off Amazon. And the plot's kind of a mess, but it's got some interesting concepts. But it has that same thing where they, what is it? They break through the shield of a spacecraft, and so they're out in space for a few seconds, and then another ship picks them up.
Okay.
It actually makes more sense in Titan AE than like, oh, this person I randomly called got here just in time to pull us out of the vacuum.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So that concludes Marvel fatigue. Hopefully we didn't fatigue you by complaining about it.
Seems like a dangerous medical condition.
But yeah, bring the movies back down to Earth, literally and figuratively, and have some stakes and kill people.
Yes.
Okay, what character would you be the most saddened by if they killed in a Marvel movie?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe...
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Is that your choice?
Maybe.
It'd probably be Thor.
Really?
Probably.
But how would you kill Thor? I thought he was like a god. Well, they're not really gods. They're just people with very advanced technology.
Yeah, it'd be like him or Loki. Like, I really enjoy Loki. Like, he was the big surprise of Avengers, because I remember when that was coming out and he was the villain. I was like, seriously? That putz? But then he was, like, really good in Avengers, so.
Yeah, I mean, he was better than Ultron.
Yes.
Ultron should have been awesome. It was James Spader's voice, but nope.
So what would be your big concern? just Gwyneth Paltrow.
Probably Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, it's understandable.
It would be worse. Although they sort of they faked out her death in Iron Man 3, I guess.
Yes, they did.
But luckily, she had on fireproof underwear, so she survived.
Well, she makes enough money; she can afford that, you know. So.
Oh right. Oh, so in case she ever gets turned into the Extremist Project and is dropped into a fireball, her bra will stay intact.
Gwyneth Paltrow would have to deal with that every day of her life.
I'm sure she would.
It's one of the consequences of marrying the guy from Coldplay.
Or Paul Bettany.
Or maybe it's the consequence of divorcing the guy from Coldplay.
Do you know how many times I watched Labyrinth as a young boy growing up in Worcestershire?
Sauce.
Worcestershire on Sussex on Thames. There's a typical address in England. It's amazing, like, for such a small, physically small country, how long their addresses are. Anyway, our next topic, which is not about the geography of England, is the shared universe overload.
Speaking of empire building, there we go.
Oh, nice segue. Anyway, so Marvel has, you know, made a lot of money with Avengers, although that money was peanuts compared to The Force Wakes Up. So now everyone is jumping on the shared universe bandwagon. But instead of building the movies up and then creating a shared universe, they're just creating shared universes right off the bat or applying them to existing franchises that nobody asked for, like Transformers.
So is that actually happening with like, are they going to do kind of like offshoot?
Oh, yeah, they're doing like a Bumblebee Origins.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, they had this big writer's room. They're like, let's make it like television. It'll be a writer's room. Run by Akiva Goldsman, and we'll come up with a bunch of ideas for, like, Transformers movies. And then their big idea was, like, I know, let's have Michael Bay direct another Transformers movie and Bumblebee Origins. So, you know, they just probably just put a bunch of people in a room and then come up with ideas just so they could shit-can them all and do what they're going to do anyway. So who the hell wants a Bumblebee Origins movie?
So what's that movie going to be? Just, like, showing him being assembled at the GM plant?
I guess.
I mean,
but he wasn't assembled in the GM planet. He came from outer space or Omicron or Unicron. What's a planet with the voice of Charlton Heston? Oh, I mean, Orson Welles.
Unicron.
Go then on your way to oblivion. okay. So I watched Transformers. I loved Transformers when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But that's why I never saw a movie like Labyrinth. It's like, I don't give a crap about this. Transformers. But I don't give a flying crap about these Transformers movies, probably because they suck.
Yeah, I watched the first three, but I still haven't watched the one with Mark Wahlberg in it.
It's like 3 hours. No, 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Jesus.
Why is a Transformers movie as long as Dances with Wolves? Really? I mean, think about it. Why? Why?
Ugh.
So Transformers is doing a shared universe.
Good God.
So I think shared universe is the new dark, gritty reboot.
Yeah.
Where it's like, take something and then say it's a dark, gritty reboot. The other one that allegedly already started, although nobody went to it, with Dracula Untold, is a Universal Monsters shared universe.
Oh, Dracula Untold is supposed to be the beginning of that?
Yes.
Oh, well.
You may not Whoops. Have known this because you probably didn't see it.
I didn't get the memo.
Nobody did.
but
then
Tom.
It turns out this Mummy reboot is going to have Tom Cruise in it.
That's what they should do. They should just do like Mummy reboot, have Tom in it. Van Helsing reboot, have Tom in it. Just put fucking Tom Cruise in like all their movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, Van Helsing should be rebooted. It should have been awesome, but it was terrible.
Yeah, it's like the ingredients were there. It's like, you know, you had Hugh Jackman and, you know, Kate Beckinsale. And
I kind of think that maybe Stephen Sommers, once he was able to do what he wanted, once he had some success with The Mummy. People always talk about studio interference, but look what happens when there isn't any studio interference. When it's like, oh, look, you directed The Mummy Returns, just made a shitload of money, and was also shit.
Yes.
You can do whatever you want on Van Helsing, and look what kind of movie you get.
Yeah, it was. Although I did watch it again at some point, and I'm like, okay, it's...
What, Van Helsing?
Yes. Because I was like, it's kind of like in the cheesy land of, like, bad but good. It's right on that kind of fence.
I watched it, or I played it while I was doing something else, like, within the last 2 years.
Because Dale told me, he was like, watch it again and think of it as the movie made by the guy who did G.I. Joe instead of the guy who made The Mummy.
Oh. No, yeah, G.I. Joe definitely went far enough that it was.
And that one was a good hilarious
time. Yeah, I think that's a problem with Van Helsing is you spend the whole time thinking about how good the movie could have been.
Yes.
And then it wasn't, whereas a G.I. Joe, who gives a crap?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it was so great because you had, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, just chewing scenery as Cobra Commander.
And sinking ice. You remember when the ice sinks at the end?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
And then some CGI artist is probably doing that, and they're like, I hate my job.
But I have to pay my mortgage, so...
I'm a whore.
And then it had that part where, like, yeah, like that whole Paris action scene, which was actually pretty exciting. You know, I got to give it credit.
You know, there was nothing boring about that movie.
No, not at all.
So then the mummy is a woman now, I guess, even though that already
really?
Happened, so it's not really that interesting.
Is it's it the, a woman on the moon?
Yeah, a Knox on the moon was a mummy.
Yes.
It's the woman with the spike legs from... Kingsman, The Secret Service, which was a really good movie.
Oh,
Sophie
yes,
Veriga. Her name almost sounds like Sophie Veriga, but it's not.
Okay.
So she's going to be a mummy, I guess. So it's a female mummy.
All right.
I guess.
And then Tom's going to be
the
Brendan
thing is,
Fraser.
Tom Cruise doesn't make bad movies.
That
period.
Is true.
Except for Legend.
Legend was... But it's been like 30 years.
Legend
you know, so.
Makes Labyrinth look like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it does.
Bad. I mean, I would still be concerned about Alex Kurtzman directing it because. But yeah, I mean, Tom seems to elevate everything he's in.
Yeah, like yeah, I would not give a shit about that movie, but the fact that Tom's in it, I'll go and see it.
Then. It's kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was attached to a movie, it was held to a certain level of quality,
mm-hmm.
you know, and. Tom Cruise has kept it up a lot longer than Arnold did. You know, it's like this movie, you know, will at least be, you know, well made. It's the script won't completely suck and
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I would go to it cuz I still wish it was in the past. It's supposed to be, I think it's still supposed to be modern day.
Yeah. Cuz that was the great thing with the one with Brendan Fraser is yeah, it's set like in the 1920s or whatever.
Yeah, the Brendan Fraser one, it's not perfect. It's got some issues. I would say notably at the end of Act 2.
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yes, though. Yes. It's got Rachel Weisz in it and, like, guns and horses and sand. It's got yep. everything you need in a movie.
And it's got Oded Fehr as, like, that dude that's, like, protecting the...
Oh, yeah.
Hamanoptera.
A Knox of the Moon.
A Knox of the Moon's booty.
no man could touch her. Get it on Blu-ray and you realize, holy shit, it's body paint. Yeah.
It's like awesome. But yeah, so yeah, basically who gives a shit though about that shared universe? It's like the only reason we have any interest is because Tom's involved in The Mummy.
But... Well, is it one of those things where you make a bunch of separate movies and then Van Helsing reboot is like the Avengers of the shared universe
where
you
try
fight
to bring
all
it
the
all
creatures?
Together?
But it's the same problem where, like, the creatures just keep respawning and coming back to life. It's like you can never kill them because you have to keep them around. It's like a cartoon show from the 80s. Like, they never kill Cobra Commander. He just flies away.
Well, the thing, too, is it's like, what are the damn monsters? It's like you've got, what, Creature from the Black Lagoon, which,
yeah.
I mean, is anybody going to give a shit about that movie? They made a Wolfman movie a number of years ago. Nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
I doubt anybody is this time, either. You know, it's like, I guess Bride of Frankenstein, you could maybe do something... with that
they need to take like
Frankenstein
a character that nobody cared about like Iron Man they need to take an obscure character and make a really good movie with them
mm-hmm. yeah
maybe it would be Creature from the Black Lagoon ah no
I mean you probably could make a good movie out of that I just
they did make a good movie
care.
Out of Creature from the Black Lagoon it was called Creature from the Black Lagoon
well but that was a long time ago
yes
nowadays it would have to you know like I don't know, sell freaking toys. And
it wouldn't be just like a little charter boat going into a gloom. It would be like a battleship with a bunch of like military people with guns.
And Rihanna would be on it.
Yep, and Megan Fox would be the other woman. Here's a question. Wouldn't it be easier to build a structure the size of a planet than to hollow out a planet and then build a structure inside of it?
You would think.
Yeah.
Maybe they had like a lot of slaves there or something. They're like, just start digging.
Oh, maybe they found a planet with an ancient civilization, like a Egyptian level civilization, and they turned. Oh, that one could be a cool plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these space gods come down, but it's really the Empire or the First Order or whatever the hell they're called now. And then they take the indigenous people and turn them into slaves to build a Death Star.
Yeah.
And it's that story.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see the story of how they destroyed the indigenous people to make that Starkiller base.
Yes.
Here's a question. Okay, in A New Hope, R2-D2 sticks his wang into the machine, and they're like, the princess is here. Oh, where is the princess? She's in detention center B, 50th level, blah, blah, blah.
I know where you're going.
So they go to her, right? Now they're on a base that's 50 times bigger, and Rey is randomly trapped on it. So Rey has to set herself free because she can't be a princess. But then she randomly bumps into Harrison Ford and Finn.
And they just happened to be in the part of the base where she was.
Yeah, yeah, because she was just this planet-sized base. She just was conveniently located near the oscillator shield.
Yes.
So it's like by giving her agency, which is good, but then you just have to throw logic out the window instead of like, let's go find her here.
Yes.
Or it's like they just randomly bump into each other.
Or just having her like bust her own way out of the damn place.
Which she was doing anyway.
Yeah, she was already well on her way.
Or she could have saved them.
Yeah.
But it's still a coincidence.
Yes.
I just hate when movies just are driven by coincidence.
Yeah, they're just lazy.
Okay, so I want to see an origin story for the Starkiller base.
Yes.
So get on that, Disney. Okay, more shared universes, because we really got off tangent there. Thanks, Rihanna. Mahalo, mother. Of course, can't say it. Remember, she's got the machine gun in Battleship. Have
I
you
never
seen
saw
Battleship?
It. No, I haven't seen
oh,
it.
Oh, I've seen it.
I know you have.
I was like, I was so excited to see that movie.
I know you were like waiting with bated breath for it to like come out on like streaming.
Oh, just
rental.
like Terminator Genesis. I almost went to see that at the cheap theater. I was just so curious to see what it was going to be like. And I must say, Battleship was a much more solid film than Terminator Genesis. Well, anyway, there's a part where Rihanna has like a machine gun or something. It's like a mounted machine gun.
Okay.
And she aims it at the alien. She's like, Mahalo, motherfucker. And of course, they cut it off. Because you can't say motherfucker in PG-13.
Well, of course not.
So I wonder if our audiences realize when you can use fuck in a movie.
They might not.
We should explain that to them. Okay, so someone can say, oh, fuck, in a PG-13 movie. But Rihanna cannot say, motherfucker. Why is that?
Well, isn't it like the whole sexual context? Although it's like, technically, motherfucker really doesn't have a sexual context, even though the two words put together could be construed as
it's
such.
It's fucking a mother, I mean.
Yeah, but it's like, when people say it, they don't really mean that when they say it.
Yeah, that really started back in the 90s, and I got so sick of it because you're just waiting for them to put in the one fuck. It's like it's like the Wilhelm scream or waiting for fucking Stan Lee to show up in a Marvel movie, which I'm also sick of.
Another character they could kill off in a Marvel movie.
It'll probably happen organically pretty soon. I'm so sick of it.
Well, it takes you out of the movie.
Yes.
It's like, it's not clever, it's not funny.
Or like, you know, it was like, oh, or Robin Hood. That might have been the start of it. Fuck me, they made it.
Yeah.
Actually, that would probably be considered sexual.
Yeah, they got away with one there.
Yeah. So the rule is, you can say fuck once in a PG-13 movie, but it cannot be a sexual reference. So if someone was like, I'm going to fuck you tonight.
Yeah, that won't fly.
So if you meant you're going to shoot them or kill them, you could say it. But if you were going to have sex with them, you couldn't.
Yes. It makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah, that's the MPAA for you.
But yeah, like you say, when you're watching a PG-13 movie and like when you know about that rule, and yeah, they say fuck in it, it's like, well, there's their one.
Yep, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
You know? It's like, but yeah, I swear there was some movie where they managed to like get two in. And I was just like, wow, they snuck another one in there, you know? I'll have to try to do some research on that. I swear it happened.
I'm so... Well, I think that trend's kind of over. Yeah. Even Titanic did it.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
So there's a Fast and Furious shared universe, too?
Sure.
I know there's just a shitload of movies.
Well, aren't they making another trilogy?
Really?
Like 8, 9, 10?
Oh, Jesus.
Of course, because... Well, here's the thing I don't like about insta-trilogies. Is it used to be when you made a movie had a beginning, a middle, and an end, three-act structure. Now they put that structure into three movies.
Like The Force Awakens.
And it feels really unsatisfying. That's why.
Yeah.
Because the movies aren't self-contained. Everything leads into another movie.
Yeah.
So, Ghostbusters. So, they don't even know if the new movie will be successful. It'll probably do okay.
Yeah, I imagine it will.
Which is unfortunate because then Hollywood's going to be like, oh, let's just do a female reboot of everything. That'll be their new version of being creative.
Yeah, like the rumored Ocean's 11 one with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. But they're already planning, what is it? They want a Ghostbusters and they want a male Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Which is just as dumb. Why not just make Ghostbusters?
Well, I liked it too with that. Like, when that was announced that they were going to make, like, an all-male one, like, even the actresses in this Ghostbusters reboot, like Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, they were like, why can't they all just be together in one movie? Like, why couldn't you have female and male Ghostbusters?
Well, you know? I think we talked about this in our last podcast, didn't we?
Probably.
It's like people are upset because it's a reboot. It has nothing... I mean, if it was a reboot with all guys, and it would be Chris Pratt, the guy
Craig
from
Robinson.
Krampus, Craig Robinson.
Yep.
And who would the fourth one be? Oh, Seth Rogen would be in it.
Oh, yeah.
People would also be upset because you're basically saying that, you know, your childhood doesn't matter. Where Star Wars is like, your childhood did matter. Look, here's Harrison Ford and Chewie. Oh, warm fuzzies. Unless you're like me and you don't give a crap.
Yeah.
So Star Wars obviously has a shared universe. They're making a movie every year.
Yeah. Yeah, and now they're doing these offshoots. So, like Rogue One and then the Han Solo thing. And
they're going to take over Christmas.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's... Yes. Force Awakens would not have made nearly as much money had it released in May.
No.
Because there would have been too much competition.
Episode 8 will not make anywhere near as much as Force Awakens did either.
Right, but I'm sure the bigger problem with that... I know you're talking about they're changing the story too, but it's like... You know, what happens when Episode 8 opens in May and it makes only like $500 million? The shareholders are going to be like, why didn't this make as much? It's because you didn't have like 3 weekends of no competition and like a week where kids and parents are both off.
Yeah.
It's like, it's... The thing is, there'll probably be like a land rush for, oh, look how much money you can make at Christmas with a big movie.
Yeah, that'll become the big thing. And
then it won't be special anymore. We'll get oversaturated like everything else.
Yeah, to me, I think Episode 8 is going to play like Ultron did compared to Avengers. Like, I think it'll make probably about 3/4 domestically of what it made, which is still going to be a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back made significantly less than New Hope.
Yep.
So Fox has an X-Men universe. I think they're making more spinoffs, another Wolverine movie. I think they're getting into television as well.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about something with television, and they're going to make the final Wolverine. And I know, like, way back when, you know, like, after the first couple that Singer did, there was, and then they, you know, made, like, the first Wolverine standalone at some point, there was always talk of making a Magneto Origins movie, too, but then that never happened. That would be a movie, even though I know I hate... Well, I don't completely hate the expanded universe stuff. It's just they got to do it right. But I would love to see like a Magneto movie with Fassbender because Fassbender is fucking awesome. So,
my question here. Oh, and we're completely forgetting about Warner Brothers. Like, oh look.
Oh yes.
Man of Steel was successful and some people liked it. Let's greenlight 20 movies.
Yeah, they're like trying to like jump ahead because they're so far behind where Marvel is. So it's like they're. Because, like, Batman versus Superman, it's essentially, I guess it's kind of like Captain America Civil War, almost, you know, like, they're going to, it's like, yeah, you've got Batman and Superman, but then, yeah, Wonder Woman's going to show up. I've heard mentions of, like, Aquaman. You know, they're going to, like, shove a bunch of extra characters
in. Oh, yeah, they're going to have the Justice League assembled by the end of the movie.
Yeah, and so then that way they could be like, oh, look, people really liked Aquaman or something. Okay, let's go make an Aquaman standalone movie.
They already have all that. It's all scheduled already. Yeah, it's all mapped. It's not if they're going to do it, they are.
And so, but yeah, they're trying to do it in reverse, essentially, instead of creating the solo ones, building to the big movie. They're basically doing the big movie and then going off and doing solo ones and really hoping that it works out.
Justice League is scheduled for, like...
That's coming pretty soon,
too. I want to say 2017.
It's, yeah, like, I think so, yeah.
And, of course, it's two parts.
Have they... Is anybody even assigned to direct that yet? I know.
Oh,
like,
Zack Snyder.
Oh, Snyder is doing
just
it.
Just like the Russo brothers are directing both the Infinity War movies. But yeah, you've got two Justice League movies, two Infinity War movies, then all these other side movies. Like, yeah. It's too many movies, which will kind of go into our next topic. But there are more movies. I think there's more movies being made than there are humans on Earth. Like, who's going to watch all these movies?
Kind of seems that way because it's like. Even as, like, into movies as we are, it's like we just scratch the surface, you know, like,
each year. Most people are adults. Most adults do not go to that many movies.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive, which I guess we're segueing into our next topic, what actually sucks about going to the movies. if you talk to someone who has, like, a family, they might see two kids' movies a year and maybe, like, something like Star Wars. They don't go to jack shit.
Yep.
And... Yeah. The fact that they're increasing the supply of movies and increasing the price, it's like, yeah, that worked so well for the housing market 8 years ago. Well, but it won't crash this time. No, this will be different. It's movies. We've got China. We can sell to China.
Yeah, well, then the problem, too, is it's like they increase the supply, but they're increasing the wrong supply. You know, like, because the thing is, it's like the people that have money are people like us, but... As we get older, and we knew this, like, long ago, but it's like, as we get older, it's like, they don't really make movies for us anymore. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's
because
some...
Because it's a self-feeding problem. They don't make movies for old people because old people don't go to movies.
Yeah, and so, it's like, but, you know, because it's like, most older people, they don't give a shit about these Marvel movies. You know, it's like, kids will go, and, you know, there's some adults, you know, obviously, that are into it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've seen most of the Marvel movies in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I'm definitely getting worn out on them. Like, I didn't go to Ant-Man, and...
Yeah, it gets to the point where it's like, oh, I guess I should go see this Marvel movie because I should see it. And
yes, yeah.
It's not really that you want to see it.
Sometimes it's just that you're bored, and you're like, you know what? There's nothing else going on. Okay, that's the most interesting of a bunch of uninteresting things showing right now, so I'll go and see it. But
when I was like 19, I worked at a movie theater, and I was shocked at how many people would walk up to the box office, look at the posters, and decide what to see.
Really?
Yeah, it was incredibly common. And then they never got the names of the movies right.
It's kind of like buying cars. I remember my dad told that to me at one point, because he sold cars forever, and... I'd make some comment, and he's like, oh, you'd be surprised how many people just come on the lot. Like, they're not looking for a specific model of car. Like, they'll make their decision based off the color.
That's not surprising at
like,
all,
not
actually.
The options, not...
That's
know,
a pretty expensive spur-of-the-moment decision.
Yeah, but he said, yeah, that happens way more often than you'd think. And I was just like, wow.
So you see online people... talking about going to the movies, and they always, it's like, oh, you have to deal with noisy patrons and people on their cell phones, and that's always brought up as a common problem, and I never experienced that around here. I can't really think of any time.
Yeah, it was like when we texted the other day, I'm like, there was one time in all the years I've gone to movies where I had a problem like that, and that was, I think it was in 2000 or 2001, so it's been like over 15 years ago. You know, and I've seen a shitload of movies since then. So, it's basically a non-factor for me as well.
It might be where we live. You know, maybe if we lived in a big city or... thing is, we're not going to go to a movie that a bunch of teenage girls are going to go to.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if you went into Pitch Perfect 2, there would be a bunch of screeching, texting, you know, little girls in there.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be in Mad Max.
Yes. They should be, but they're not.
So, yeah, It's not that at all. There are other things that suck, and we're going to talk about them now. So number one on our list, this won't be a surprise, price.
Yeah, it's like what is an evening showing now? Like, not 3D, not like all the stupid taxes, you know, like IMAX 3D.
Like, yeah, they have all these, like, surcharges they can apply now.
Or, yeah, like, well, yeah, I'm getting ahead. But, yeah, like, if you order your tickets online, then you get to pay a convenience fee, you know, all that shit.
That's bullshit. It's less effort to order them online.
Yeah.
Because if you walk up to someone in a ticket booth, they have to pay that person to spend the time to give you the ticket. Well, I'm sure they're just trying to get rid of as many employees as possible.
Oh, yeah. And now, like, with reserved seating, you're almost forced to do that. Like, if you're going on, like, an opening weekend, like, for a big movie, you're...
Because you won't get good seats if you show up. They'll all be taken already.
Yeah, so you're pretty much forced to pay that bullshit charge.
I mean, that would always happen, like, if you showed up late for a movie and you'd have to get a crappy seat. But now it's rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, and I mean, well, the thing is, though, it's like... Like, I always liked the experience, you know, of just being like, you know, fuck it. You get to the theater 20, 30 minutes earlier, and you get to, like, go in and, like, find your spot, you know. And you could usually get a good seat, you know, if you're there, like, a bit early. And I always liked that, you know, getting to the movie earlier, and you sit there and, like, shoot the shit beforehand and all that, you know. Where now it's like, you know, oh, reserve the tickets online and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And
well, it's interesting when you go to... like the Sun Prairie Theater here with the reserved seating, and the theater will look empty, and then everyone will come in right at the last minute and then have to sit through 20 minutes of ads.
That's what was kind of fun when I went to Force Awakens at the IMAX, because that's like that's about the only screen I think in town anymore that doesn't have reserved seating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I went the week after it opened. It was like a Tuesday night, and I got there probably 40, 45 minutes early, and I got in, and that place was already, like, filling up. And it was kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, this is, like, what the movie experience is supposed to be like.
Yeah, it's like, I got to get there. You know, it adds, you know, urgency instead of adding $1.50 on the price. Yeah, I want to say an evening show non-3D is, like, $10 now.
It's got to be right around there, I would think.
And then the bullshit thing they started not that long ago was the matinees end at like 4:30 or something. Definitely before 5.
Yeah. And even matinees aren't that cheap anymore.
They might be like, what, $2 cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, they're like around $8 or so.
The price of movie tickets, I would say that can last 2 or 3 years even, has shot up really fast.
Yeah, it's like the only time you can really get a deal is if, like, what is it, Marcus Theaters has their Tuesday $5 thing.
Yeah, but I never go to that because it's a zoo.
It's a fucking madhouse. It's like, holy shit.
Well, there's right there. Look. Yeah. If it's cheaper, more people will come. Pfft, economics 101.
Yep. And I hear people at work say that, too. It's like, oh, I'll probably see that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And but, like, for me, I don't really like doing things on weeknights or something.
Yeah, $4 or $5 of price difference. It's not worth it to me to have to deal with all these people.
All the people, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, for me to get a deal, I usually go early on a Saturday, because if you go, it's either before noon or before 11, it's like $5.
Mm.
And usually there aren't many people out to see a movie at that time, so it's fairly empty, it's cheap.
That makes sense.
And so that's probably like half the time when I go and see a movie. Like, if I go and see a movie by myself, that's pretty much when I go.
Yeah, because it's almost like I just got to get this out of the way.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. You get out of the movie, it's like noon or 1 o'clock, you know, and it's like you still got the whole day ahead of you pretty much.
Yeah, and that could come into my next bullet point. The length of movies. So anyone that knows me knows I really hate long movies. Pointlessly long movies.
Yes.
And it's gotten worse in the last 10 years, maybe even 5 years.
Because, like, when we were younger, you know, it was like most movies were like an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes, pretty much. I mean, you had some, you know, you had your Dances with Wolves, which were, you know, epic movies that warranted that runtime. But, you know, like, comedies never went over 2 hours.
That's because Judd Apatow wasn't making movies back then.
But it was like pretty much all your comedies, they were like in that hour and 40 minute realm, you know, and stuff. But it's like, and all your action movies were down around there. But now it's like, almost everything's at least 2 hours, if not pushing 2.5, it seems like.
I think there's several things contributing to that. One is digital projection.
Yeah.
the longer a movie is, the more film it took. And you're talking like $2,000 a print. If the film is an hour longer, you're talking, you know, more, like what? I don't know, $3,000 a print. So the movie better be damn good. It better be damn worth it. But now it's like, who cares? It's just a hard drive that we're going to erase. Plus, there's more screens. It used to be they shunned away from longer films as well because you couldn't show it as many times per day. But now there's so many screens, who cares? Also, movies are made so quickly, and there's so many special effects that they don't really have time to like edit them down. I think it's one of the reasons the Pirates of the Caribbean sequels are so effing long is those movies, they didn't even do test screens of them. They were so wet, so to speak, that they just finished the last effect and shipped them to theaters. They didn't have time. But it's just, I think the problem is they're like, oh, movies keep going up in price. It doesn't cost us that much more to increase the length of the movies. So it's like, ooh, look, 20% more on this bag of chips, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we'll make the movies longer so people feel like they're getting a better value for their money.
Yep.
And I don't think that's a value. But yeah, making a movie that's overly long is takes away from a film.
Yeah, it's like with entertainment, it's like quantity isn't necessarily what people want. Like, they might think they want it, but I'd rather just have something that's really good, really well edited, tight story, well plotted, and it's hour and 55 minutes long, rather than that exact same movie with like 15 to 20 minutes of like bloat shoved into
Fury Road is like, what, 2 hours on the head?
I think it's actually a little less. I think it's actually
look how much people like that movie. It didn't have half an hour of backstory or whatever other crap would be in a... If anyone else had made that movie, it would have been like, this is the backstory of Max.
Oh, that movie would have been like 2.5 hours long if anybody else made
it. Oh, you know Batman versus Superman is going to push 3 hours, right? I mean, I guarantee it will.
Yeah, I bet.
So what was it like? The first Hobbit was an excruciating experience for midnight showing. I'm done with midnight showings.
Yeah, that killed midnight showings. That's still the last one I saw.
But, you didn't see the second or third one? Oh, last midnight showing.
Like for midnight showings. I did end up seeing... I didn't see the second and third in the theater, though.
I didn't either. But, you know, renting them at home, like, I could tolerate a long movie because I wasn't, like, trapped in a theater.
Yeah.
And what makes it even worse is... So you're sitting there... I'm okay with pre-show ads. It's like, oh, there's a showing crap on the screen before the movie starts. Mm-hmm. But then the showtime starts, and then... I've timed it before. It's... 20 minutes, sometimes close to a half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I think I timed it when all of us went to see Force Awakens on the Friday. I want to say it was 20 minutes.
That's probably right.
Of trailers and ads. And even when you get past that, then there's like 5 minutes of splash screens for like AMC theaters and like little like balls like eating popcorn. It's like, I know I'm in an AMC theater.
Well, and you have the shit too where, like the CEO or whatever has his minute or 2 minute long bullshit spiel about thanks for coming to our theater. It's like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, let me watch the goddamn movie.
It's like, it's like a paperless age. Like, don't waste things. It's like, okay, showing movie trailers in front of a movie. I mean, apparently there's people who don't watch trailers online, but screw them.
Well, the thing too with the trailers and the movies, it's like, by the time you've seen the 3 hour movie that ends up showing, it's like, I don't even remember 90% of the trailers I saw on the front of it anyways. So it's like, what value are they providing?
Well, and there's so many goddamn trailers that you forget what movie you've come to see.
Yes.
It's like your brain has been erased.
Yeah.
I would say that is the number one thing I do not like about watching movies in theaters.
Yeah, I want to say I've been to movies where there were like 8 or 9 trailers on the front before.
The theaters around here average 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nuts.
And then, what was it? Forrest Gump actually prompted a change where trailers, they put a limit on their length.
The length, yeah.
Because Forrest Gump had a really long trailer. So there's like, okay, 2.5 minutes. And I think they were like, they're now actually saying they want to go down to 2.
Okay.
The thing is...
They'll just put more on.
Yes.
Then, so
it won't make a difference. Maybe that's why they want to do it, to secretly, get actually more different trailers.
Because there are more movies, as we brought up before. So it's like...
Yeah, it's like, well, we've got 20 minutes. Well, you know what? That's the thing. Like, you'll go to a theater, and there'll be a trailer for Star Wars, and people are like, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's like, none of you people own computers or the internet? You haven't seen this already? But it's like when you go to a 3D movie, and the 3D turns on, and people ooh and ah. It's like, what, are we in a room full of Amish? You've never seen this before? Right?
Yeah, it's not like it's back when, like, Avatar came out, you know, and there hadn't really been much 3D shit. I mean, even then,
what
it was
Beowulf?
Like, whatever, but still. Beowulf was awesome.
Anyway.
The 3D, like, at the end was a good time.
So you pay extra money. I would say theaters now are a premium experience.
Yeah.
Like, showing the ads in front is like paying for cable and having to watch commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this X-Files revival. It is going to be so bizarre to watch that, to watch a TV show with commercials in it. My brain's going to be like, what the hell?
Isn't that just like six episodes they're doing?
Yeah.
Or pretty short run.
I think it starts tomorrow after the football game.
So that's on Fox still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, oh, what else do I have here? Oh, okay, so most digital projectors are only 2K. And that's what I hate about the IMAX here in Madison, is they took out the real IMAX film projector and put in a digital projector, and you can see the pixels.
Yeah, yeah.
So think about it. Like, they make cell phones that are 4K now. There's no reason for that. Like, I have this cell phone's like 2K. I can't see the pixels.
You won't be able to see it on that small of a screen. It's
yeah,
like
but they still do it. But, yeah, movie theaters, most of them are 2K. A lot of movies are still mastered in 2K. But at least when they have a transfer to film, it would reintroduce noise and granularity so it would look, you wouldn't see the pixels.
Yeah. Remember the good old days when you could go to the IMAX and they'd have, like, you know, Space Station 3D and...
When they showed IMAX stuff.
Yes. Remember those days?
But now everything's just, like, up-converted garbage.
Because I remember that was so cool, like, when the IMAX first came here. It was, like, the first couple of years, there were times where, yeah, like, they'd have, like, the new, you know,
40-minute... Yeah, like, 40 Hubble minute... 3D, Fish 3D.
Yeah, they'd have, like, those 40-minute documentaries, and, yeah, they were, like, cool.
But even when Hubble 3D came out, it was, like, 6 months late... Because they were too busy showing 35mm blow-ups of existing films. And now it's not even real IMAX anymore. It's
it's
just digital.
It's just a big fucking screen. That's all it is.
I mean, I could have the same experience at home by standing 1 foot from my TV and ripping a $10 bill in half. Or
you
no,
should go and do that
bill
tonight.
Now for IMAX. What?
You should go and do that tonight just to see if it's as satisfying. And then put it on YouTube and share your experience.
This is what it's like going to digital cinema. I guess I could just tape the money back together.
And then it's like, well, it took much less time.
Yeah, I didn't have to sit through 20 minutes of trailers.
Yeah. You could knock that out in like 5 seconds easy.
Oh, yeah, 10 million hits. Did you see my tweet with the iPhone and the Game Boy?
Oh, yeah, where the one had been, like, hit by a bomb or whatever, and then, yeah, the iPhone had dropped, like, off somebody's desk.
Destroyed forever.
So was that thing, like, I guess it would have been too early. I was going to say, was that thing at Chernobyl, but the Game Boy
no, it was in the first Iraq War.
That's where that was from?
Yeah, base got hit with missiles or bombs or whatever Saddam had.
Yeah.
Firecrackers. And it survived, and now it might be in the Smithsonian. It's in a museum, and it still runs 25 years later.
Wow, nice.
But yeah, drop your phone.
Destroyed. Yep, game over. Give us $600.
Okay, so what else do we have here?
I guess we bitched about LIMAX.
Digital projection not flawless. Didn't you say you tried to go to Star Wars, or your work took everyone, but the sound didn't work?
Yeah, it was like pretty cool. Like my boss, he's like, hey, let's all go to Star Wars. So I was like, cool, I could get paid to watch Star Wars because he was taking us during the day. And we went there, and yeah, the IMAX theater was dead in the water because the sound processor took a shit. And so we wound up just going out to lunch instead, which was less exciting, but still nice. But then it was like that night was when I wound up going back and seeing it because they had fixed it by that point. But yeah, so they're definitely not... foolproof or failure-proof or whatever you want to call it.
So the last thing I have here on this list is Hateful Eight. So that movie made a big deal about being filmed in 70mm and projected in 70mm in certain locations.
And, but yet most of us can't see it in that format.
Well, where we go. Max, the camera guy, he went to a 70mm roadshow.
But he had to go to, like, Milwaukee or something to see it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but that's better than not being able to see it. He said it's a really good movie. No, I've seen every Tarantino movie in the theater since Jackie Brown, which I didn't see in the theater, so I guess everything since, what, Kill Bill?
I saw
Death
Grindhouse?
Proof in the theater.
You saw that?
I saw Grindhouse in the theater.
Wow, I did not.
But I didn't go to Hateful Eight because I'm like, oh God, it's 3 hours long. And
well, that's the thing, it's like, that's 3 hours, but then like we've talked about, it's like the whole rest of the experience, you're probably talking another hour tacked onto it.
Yeah, Max said it, you know, he said it goes by really fast, it didn't even seem like 3 hours. But yeah, there's just so much other crap you have to do, whereas if I want to watch a movie at home, I just go to Amazon and I push the button and it starts. I don't have to watch any trailers.
Yeah.
Which, has Blu-ray gotten better about that? I know Blu-ray was pretty bad about that for a while, especially Disney discs.
Yeah, at least you can skip them very easily on them. You're not like forced to sit through them.
It's kind of like Uber versus cabs. If digital streaming, just all you just watch the movie, you push the button and the movie starts. Yep. That's a better experience than Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Even if the quality isn't as good as Blu-ray, but the experience is better. Like the delivery is better. Therefore, you can't compete with that. You can't compete with a service that is fundamentally better than what you give people.
Yeah, I want to say there was some Blu-ray I got not too long ago, and it actually went like right to the menu screen, and I was amazed. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen that in forever. Because that was how DVD was in the early days. Like, they didn't have trailers or shit.
Yeah, some of them just started just immediately. I mean, you're talking like 1997 Blu-rays, right? Like Twister,
like the
JFK.
DVDs, yeah. Like, well, like all the Warner Brother ones, yeah, they just went straight into the movie. They didn't have any, I mean, they had a menu, but you didn't need to go to it.
But now Blu-ray has to like load, then it does the menu, then it has to start the movie. And
well, yeah, and some of them will go out and like sync with the fucking cloud, you know, so they can pull down a brand new trailer for some shit that's coming out in the theater. You know, it's like, I don't care. It's like, I bought this movie because I want to watch this movie, not some other shit.
Wasn't someone trying, like studios were trying to make the ads unskippable on discs, which they could do. I mean, you just
set a bit
and they would be unskippable.
Yeah.
Or you'd at least have to fast forward to them. And then I think somebody was like, no, or like a line was drawn in the sand.
Yeah, I think that got shit canned.
I mean, I'm not going to say you own the movie because you don't. You own the right to view it in your home in the form of a disc.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you don't own your cartridge of DuckTales.
Yep.
You own the right to play DuckTales using this cartridge as a delivery mechanism.
Yes.
That was for all the people who were like, you don't own your games anymore. You never owned your games.
Yeah. It's just like how you don't own Windows and Office.
Yep.
It's like you've purchased a license to use it.
Right.
Surprise.
Oh, I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. But still, it's like you pay $15. At least the prices on Blu-rays have fallen through the floor.
Yeah, they've definitely come down to reality.
But still, you pay that much, and think about it. You buy a $15 Blu-ray, you sit through a bunch of menus.
Yeah.
You can rent, what is an HD rental on Amazon? $5, I think?
Five or six,
which is what
depending
I, which is
on
how I watch like 90% of my movies.
Yeah.
And you just push the button and the movie starts. It's a better experience. So here's the thing. You know how there's been all these times when Hollywood is scared to death of something?
Yeah.
Right up until it makes them a fortune?
Yeah.
Like television. DVD, they were scared the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh, perfect copies. Foreign distribution.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, all they do is pirate movies. Okay, what if you give them the movies at the same time everyone else does?
Yeah.
Then surprise, surprise, they'll go see them.
Oh, look, we get a bunch of money that way.
I mean, really, foreign sales exploding in the last 5 years kept Hollywood alive.
That's saving Hollywood.
Because after
ass.
The economy went bad, like nobody bought discs anymore, they would have been doomed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still saving their ass on a lot of these movies, you know, like ones that kind of underperform here.
Like Terminator Genesis?
Yeah. And even, like, you know, if you look at Ultron, I mean, Ultron still made a shitload of money, but I'm sure if they would have just looked at domestic gross, they would have been disappointed because it only made, like, 3/4 of what the first Avengers made. But globally, I think all told, it ended up making just about the same amount as the first Avengers movie because the international made up the difference of the drop in the domestic box office.
So, anyway, here's the difference. In America, you can buy a 60-inch television for, like, what, $700 now? They're so cheap.
Yeah, they're, like, nuts how cheap they are.
So America, as a, fairly advanced country, everyone has smartphones, tablets, huge TVs.
Surround sound.
Yeah, the theater is less important to them. Whereas if you have a developing nation like China or India, the theater is still a better experience because they don't have as much of that stuff in their homes.
Yeah.
They will eventually, in which case Hollywood will have to think of something else. Which I think will be day and date in-home distribution of new films.
It's going to happen. Yeah, it'll happen someday.
And they're going to be scared to death of it right up until it makes them a fortune.
I don't think the theater or the studios are as scared of that. I mean, the theaters are the ones that are going to be pushing back against that more than anybody. I mean, to me, I guess the only way it would hurt a studio, I mean, I could see, I guess, where they might be a little scared because, you know, they look at it like, oh, well, if we release the new Pixar movie in the theater, you know, we'll sell 5 tickets to this family instead of selling 1 copy of the movie to them in their home.
Or 1 pass, yeah.
But it's like, well, at the same time, that whole family, there's all kinds of families of 5 that aren't even going to see your movie in the
theater. Right, just like $5 Tuesday and Marcus, it's like, you'll sell more because the price is less.
Yep, so.
So, yeah, like the rich family who goes to every goddamn kids movie every year. Yes, you'll make less money off of them, but you'll sell more in total to people that can't afford to go to the theater. It's like, the thing is, you're talking about a bunch of millionaires with nannies who have no concept of how expensive it is for an average family in America, you know, to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? Inflation is not good. It's worse than, you know, the government says it is. I mean, you see that every time you go to the store. The families are having to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's like, movies are very, very low on their list.
Yeah, they're very expendable.
Yeah. It's like, am I going to buy this hamburger that went up $1 a pound since last week to feed my family or take them to see Inside Out 2? What's more important?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, when prices of things inflate, entertainment is at the bottom of the list. And that's why attendance keeps going down. It's just, it's too expensive in America to see movies, and there are better options in your own home.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was looking on Box Office Mojo, I think it was, and there's a spot on there where you can see, like, essentially the average ticket price by year. And it was, like, it was sometime, like, in the late 90s. Essentially, the ticket price has doubled since the late 90s.
Since the late 90s?
I believe it was the late 90s. It's
essentially
doubled.
So it's much faster than inflation.
Yeah, it's way beyond inflation, and so, you know, you look at that and it's like, well, people's incomes haven't doubled since the late 90s, you know, like it's, which, you know, it just, it way outstrips
inflation. Even if the incomes keep up with inflation, which is like a best case scenario.
Yeah.
Inflation since like the late 90s would be, what, 35 to 40%?
Yeah.
That's still nowhere near, you know, doubled.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it was pretty crazy, like, looking at that graph, because you could see, like, in the past, you know, it was a fairly, you know, steady but not ridiculous rise. But, yeah, like, in the last 10, 15 years, you know, it's just been shooting up.
And why? I mean, it's cheaper to distribute films now. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Of course, the theaters all had to buy new projectors. It's like, imagine if you had a 35mm projector that you've been using since the 70s. Like, this piece of equipment has been making you money for 40 years. Now it's garbage, and now... Well, I saw a lot. You saw this on Indiegogo and Kickstarter. There are a lot of small theaters that had to do Kickstarters because...
Yeah, they couldn't afford
to
buy.
Most small businesses can't just pull $75,000 out of their ass. It's like, okay, you pay $75,000 or you're out of business. I mean, I guess some of them had to, but...
Well, that was like, you know, in our hometown, they basically had to do that with the drive-in to keep that alive. They had to do fundraisers and things like
and
that.
Cause... Didn't he keep the theaters open too?
Yes.
Is it still split in two?
That, I think so. I think it
is. So
he
bought 3 projectors?
He must have.
Huh.
I think the main theater is still split in two, but I know they were able to save the drive-in as well, because that was looking kind of perilous.
You would think the drive-in would need an even more expensive projector, because you obviously have to project outdoors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are the things that suck about going to the movies. Is there anything that's gotten better about going to the movies?
This is a much shorter list. what is it? I guess the seats are nicer because less people go to the movies, so now they're putting all these really nice reclining seats that are all fancy.
It's like the opposite
cushy
of an airplane.
Yes.
Airplanes put in crappier seats because more people are flying, and there's less flights, and theaters can put in bigger seats because fewer people are seeing movies. Like, isn't attendance has been going downhill since, like, what, 2001?
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's been a couple of years where it's kind, you know, it's gone up just a hair over the previous year and stuff. But, yeah, by and large, it's essentially been
it's
going
like
down.
It's like postage stamps. The fewer people that buy them, the higher they have to raise the price, which means fewer people buy them.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about the new seats and the way they've done the theaters is the leg room. There's like so much leg room now. Like you don't have people kicking your seats anymore and shit, because unless you've got like Shaquille O'Neal sitting behind you, they can't reach your seat anymore. And then if like people get up during the movie, there's plenty of room for them to actually walk past your seat without you having to like squish in and all that. So yeah. That's like one of the nicest things about, you know, the whole less seats in the theater thing.
I want to say, what was it? The last time I went to Alamo Drafthouse, they have videos before the movie as well, but they're all about the chain, and they're really well done. They're funny, and they like have graphics and stuff. Then when the movie starts, I want to say there might have been two trailers. But yeah, at Alamo Drafthouse, there were very few trailers.
Yeah.
And then the movie just starts, although the seats aren't as nice.
Hmm.
But I'm glad that phenomenon of theaters has at least leaked out. It's like, hey, look, they can, well, we've talked about this before. You can make more money off normally priced food and beer than you can off astronomically inflated soda.
Yep.
Because, if I go to the Sun Prairie, whatever, the theater, and there's like, hey, oh, here's a, I don't know, 20-ounce Spotted Cow. It's $5.50. That's pretty much what you'd pay at Great Dane or Red Robin, any normal restaurant.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this price is normal. I will gladly pay it. It's not like, here is your $5 soda.
Yeah, and the burgers are, what, like $8-$9, and you get like a burger and fries or something, which is, you know, pretty close to like a Red Robin or a Great Dane or something.
Yeah, it's like people will buy food if it's normally priced, and they can still make money on it. Restaurants make money on it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just absurd. Like when I saw Force Awakens that night, like I hadn't eaten or whatever, so I was like, fuck it, I'll get like a soda and nachos. And it was like $12 or something stupid for a soda and nachos. And this lady, she hadn't eaten either, and she sat near me and she's like, oh, those nachos look good, like how much were they and all that. And I'm like, way too much. And then I told her, and she's like, yeah, she's like, I'm just going to, like, suck on this cold lozenge or whatever that I brought with me instead, you know?
Here's something else. Like, if you serve beer, people may buy two or three beers during a movie.
Mm-hmm.
How many giant sodas are they going to buy? One.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, they've had, like, refills and stuff at theaters for soda for quite a while. But the thing is, I don't get up during a movie. So that's always been the thing. It's like, I get it, but I'm never going to go out and refill it because I don't want to miss anything.
But if you can push the button and have the patron come to you,
that helps, yes.
Yeah. It provides a better experience. They just have to get rid of all the stupid trailers in front of the movie.
Yeah.
I would pay more to not see the trailers, just like HBO.
Yes.
You know, no commercials.
Yep. Yeah, there's something, because that's the thing, like, people's time is worth something, too. Like, maybe a lot of people don't think that way, but I think we both do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd rather, you know, get that half hour of my life back.
Yeah, that's why I'd rather see a movie like at noon or 1 than like 3. Because if I see it at 3, it's like, okay, now it's past supper, and it's going to be dark out. And at least, yeah, if you see it during the day, it's like still light out when you get out of it. You know, there's still time.
Yep.
So but your idea about going in the mornings, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, you kind of think at first it's like, oh, this is kind of weird, but after you do it a couple times, it's like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. It's got some advantages to it, so I'd recommend it.
Okay. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think about Marvel fatigue. Are you sick of Marvel movies already? Shared universes. What should they make into a shared universe? Besides Roadhouse, which is, you know, obvious, right? And then, you know, we also told you what we think sucks about going to the movies. What do you like least about going out to the movie theater? Or do you even go to the movies anymore? Let Hollywood know.
Or do you think it's an amazing experience top to bottom and we're idiots for thinking anything's wrong about it?
For all the 14-year-old girls who listen to this podcast, like, oh, yeah, we can go watch Pitch Perfect 2, Justin Bieber, la, 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 la.
Twilight.
All right, we'll see you next time. Or you'll hear us.
Adios.